Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. COVID-19 has taken a toll on minority and high-risk communities, especially on those with underlying medical conditions. One of those underlying medical conditions is diabetes. 18.7% of all African Americans have diagnosed or undiagnosed diabetes. An even higher percentage of African Americans have died due to coronavirus complications, 34%. 50% of all Latinos are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and Latinos make up nearly 15% of all COVID-19-related deaths. What is it about diabetes that places a person at risk for illness or death from disease? Tracy Brown is the president and CEO of the American Diabetes Association. She joins us on the show today to talk about what ties COVID-19 death to diabetes. I begin by asking her, does diabetes make someone more susceptible to COVID-19?
This question we have been getting often, and I want to make sure to share the data as it relates to this. So you are so right. When you look at the data that is coming out as it relates to the cases of COVID-19 and or the deaths of COVID-19, you will see that 90% of the hospitalizations from COVID-19 are people with an underlying condition, such as diabetes. Now, what I want to say is just because you have diabetes or an underlying condition, does it make you at any higher risk of contracting COVID-19? However, if you contract COVID-19, diabetes or underlying condition, you have a higher likelihood of poorer outcomes. So I wanted to make sure that I was clear on this because people say, oh my gosh, because I have diabetes, I have a higher risk of contracting COVID-19. No, you don't have a higher risk of contracting it. But if you do contract it and you have unmanaged diabetes, you're higher likelihood that you're going to have a poorer outcome. So why is that now? It has to do with the immune system, right? So just like any other infection, you may recall that we are always talking about people living with diabetes to make sure they get their flu shot every flu season. Anytime someone with diabetes gets sick, we try to encourage that they manage this. Why? Because as your body is trying to fight off sickness and infection, it really causes havoc on your blood sugars. Your blood sugars will spike, they're all over the place, and your body can have a compromised immune system when you have an underlying condition like diabetes, and that is why there is a likelihood that the outcomes could be worse if you contract COVID-19.
And I'm actually really curious, you know, you hear of people who have died from COVID-19-related illnesses, and they've had, as we've been using the term, underlying conditions. Is there anybody keeping track of what those underlying conditions? Because you hear the term and you think, oh, that person must have been sick. But what was it?
Yes. So actually, the CDC, there's probably more data than people kind of know what to do with. But yes, they are keeping track of the underlying conditions. And here are just a few of the top ones as it relates to COVID-19 specifically. Hypertension, obesity, chronic lung disease, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease would be the top five. And if you think about diabetes specifically, it's nearly 30% have diabetes that are having an issue, right? And or dying.
Well, we know that diabetes very much disproportionately affects communities of color. I was looking at the numbers, and these are millions upon millions of Americans. And as I mentioned to you before the show, there probably is not one person listening to our voices right now who does not have someone in their family with either type 1 or type 2, more than likely type 2 diabetes. And I know that the American Diabetes Association and you yourself are taking a stance in trying to boost COVID-19 testing in communities that may be underserved, in minority communities. Can you explain why?
Yes, and it's just what you said in terms of the disproportionate amount of diabetes that exist in people of color and underserved communities. Some states are reporting like 40% or more of the deaths from COVID-19 have been people living with diabetes, but equally troubling, if not more troubling, is states that are reporting to the upwards of 70 to 75% of the COVID-19 deaths have been people of color. That is not okay, period, end of story. And so that is part of the reason why we are really continuing to raise this issue and raise the fight that we need to do a few things. One, getting testing into the communities that need it. You hear about, you know, more clinics actually popping up in these drive-through clinics. But if you don't have a car, you can't get to the drive-through clinic. If you don't have access to the internet, you cannot Google where your nearest testing site is. And so the key is we must get testing into these communities, period. I mean, we've got people we know that are walking around that are asymptomatic. We're talking about the fact that the number of COVID-19 cases in this country continues to be on the rise. So we have not yet flattened the curve. One way to try and get ahead of this thing is you've got to start doing more testing so that people understand. The other thing is with underserved communities and people of color, many of them are in essential jobs right now where they don't have the ability to work from home, do the telework thing. And so they are continuing to go to their places of employment, which, you know, again, could be exposed to COVID-19 and then bringing them back into the community. So this testing thing is critical, 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 critical.
So how is the American Diabetes Association working to try to get testing into these communities? Because obviously, like you were saying, you don't have a car, you can't go to the drive-thru. You don't have the internet. How are you going to know where to go unless you're, you know, watching TV 24/7, which you probably might not because you probably have to work. What's the best way to increase awareness and therefore increase testing in these underserved communities?
So we're doing a couple of things. One of which is we've raised this issue at the federal and state level. You know, we're about to go into the next COVID-19 emergency stimulus package. One of the things that we're fighting for is that monies be allocated specifically so that we can get these tests into the communities. Then we, the American Diabetes Association, we have offices all around the country, and we want to be able to partner with those in the communities, whether that be the local churches, using those as testing sites, some of the retail establishments that are in communities, using those as testing sites, finding ways to partner. And even one of the things that we have been talking about is, you know, doing the old school mobile van that you drive through the neighborhoods to get that testing out there. But the key is we need to have funding allocated to make sure that the tests get to the people that need it most.
Tracy Brown is president and CEO of the American Diabetes Association. When we come back,
you know, there are over 30 million Americans who have lost their job because of COVID-19. And so we are fighting at the federal level for continuity of health coverage for any person living with diabetes who have lost their job.
More with Tracy Brown is next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. People with diabetes are at greater risk for dying from COVID-19-related illness. People of color are at greater risk for dying from COVID-19-related illness. But neither diabetes nor race are causative factors for COVID-19. What COVID-19 has done is exposed the disparities of healthcare in the U.S. It's not just diabetes that places people at greater risk for sickness. It's the ability to pay for the insulin and medication that keeps them alive. Tracy Brown is president and CEO of the American Diabetes Association. She says no matter what the circumstances, people living with diabetes are fighting.
They're fighting to get the resources. They're fighting to get the education and fighting to figure out where the help is. And this is why it's so important that every single person actually comes together to fight and do what is right. I know that when you study crisis that has happened in this country before, during crisis situations, this is the time where you actually see humanity rise up and come together to drive and demand change. I'm hopeful that that is what's going to happen right now. And that is why we're fighting for also continuity of coverage. You know, there are over 30 million Americans who have lost their job because of COVID-19. And so we are fighting at the federal level for continuity of health coverage for any person living with diabetes who have lost their job. Why? Because healthcare access is important. There's all kinds of data out there that already suggest when people are uninsured and don't have access to healthcare, they have poor health outcomes. The second is we're fighting for the elimination of copays during this COVID-19 time for insulin and any diabetes prescription drug. Why? Because the medical expenses for a person living with diabetes is nearly 2.5 times that of someone who does not have diabetes. So anything that we can do to eliminate the financial burden, we're going to do. And so I think the point is, we all have a responsibility to help do better and do what's right, which is why we're going to continue to shout long and hard around helping people understand that we're here for them, to provide resources for them, and to continue to fight for them as they continue to fight for themselves.
I know that many Congress members have called for the reduction in the price of insulin, because it really has gone up astronomically just in the past few years. Can you explain why the cost has gone up? And can you explain sort of the deadly consequences that this has had on people who, in trying to make ends meet, end up rationing their insulin?
Yeah, so this, as you have articulated, is a problem. It's a very large problem. And particularly, the American Diabetes Association has written every single governor. I personally wrote the letters asking during this time that they go to zero copay insulin. Insulin has, the cost of insulin has skyrocketed over the years. And listen, there are so many theories and pointing of the fingers around why that is. The issue is it needs to be solved, because to your point, if insulin is not affordable and accessible, people die. The last thing that we want is for people to ration their insulin. Particularly, we know that people shouldn't have to decide whether I pay my rent, whether I put food on my table, or whether I get the insulin that I need to live. So this issue has been one that the American Diabetes Association has been fighting for quite some time. And this is an example of this just not being okay. We must, as Americans, do better and demand better.
So what words do you have for maybe there's somebody out there who is listening who would like to help increase COVID-19 testing to underserved communities? What would you recommend that they do?
So I think there are a couple of things. We've tried to make it easy. You know, when we as a people come together and raise our voice together and demand change, that's how a lot of social change in this country has occurred. We've made it easy for people to go to diabetes.org/engagement platform. There you will find the three key issues around advocacy that we are pushing. That is the taking COVID-19 testing to the communities. That is continuity of health care coverage. And that is zero copay insulin and diabetes prescription drugs. With a couple of clicks of a second, 30 seconds, you can go in, and we have a platform that we've stood up that will customize letters that will be sent off to your congressmen and women, specifically the ones that serve where you live, that are asking for change on these areas. So the more people we can get to go to this website and fire off in 30 seconds these letters, the better. The other thing that I would suggest is we are reaching far and wide to connect with everyone in communities where we can actually pull our resources together to get some of these testing sites stood up. And so, again, asking people to go to diabetes.org and sign up to help or to donate, every little bit helps for us to deliver what is needed to help people living with diabetes during this time and beyond thrive.
Yeah, and like I said, we all have some connection with somebody we love with diabetes. For me, it was my dad. I have cousins who have diabetes. I understand you yourself are also pre-diabetic.
Well, actually, I am full living with diabetes, type 2. I've been living with type 2 diabetes now for 16 years. I had gestational diabetes when I was pregnant with my daughter. And for 80% of the women, it goes away when you give birth to your child. And for me, I was in that minority 20% where it didn't go away. And I became a type 2 person living with diabetes. And really, I view this as a part of my purpose. I don't think it's by accident that I am living with type 2 diabetes and the first CEO in the 80-year history of the American Diabetes Association to be living with the disease. For the first 5 years of my diagnosis, didn't really talk about it, really didn't take it serious until my 5-year-old daughter at the time asked me just out of the blue if I was going to die from diabetes. And that was a wake-up call for me. And from that moment, I decided that I was going to dedicate my life to showcasing how you can thrive while living with diabetes, that I would unapologetically tell my story as my own personal form of driving awareness. And, you know, diabetes is considered the silent killer. Someone dies from diabetes and its complications every 2 minutes. And the issue is that with diabetes, unlike other chronic diseases, you're okay until you're not. This does not need to be a silent killer. This does not need to be a death sentence. And we all can do it and be here for each other. A large part of my success has been through my tribe. And that's why this is so personal to me. I don't want any person living with diabetes to ever feel like they're alone.
Tracy Brown is president and CEO of the American Diabetes Association. Find out more at diabetes.org or reach out to their call center, 1-800-DIABETES. And if you're struggling to pay for insulin or diabetes medication, visit insulinhelp.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find past episodes on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Ben Henry is our podcast producer. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio.